What an introduction.
Here, let me put this cordless mic on. Where's it at? We had it around here somewhere. Oh, it's on me. Amen. Amen, brother. Put that right on your tie. How'd you find out about us here?
Went to PBI.
Oh, you did?
Yes, sir. Amen. Take your Bibles, go to Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8, come down to verse 13. The Bible says in Jeremiah 8:13, I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree. And the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter into the defense cities, and let us be silent there. For the Lord our God hath put us to silence, and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, trouble. Let's pray. Amen. Father, I pray as we open your word here that you would help me to say what you want me to say, Lord. Help me to give to this crowd something that they can use to get closer to you. And Lord, you know I'm not prepared as I should be for it. Pray, Lord, that you'd get the glory and the honor and the praise for it, and that you would move, and your will would be done with this, Lord. Help them to draw closer to you through this. And bless your word tonight, I pray, for your glory, and I come in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, he says here, why do we sit still? I want to preach to you for a few minutes about the stagnant Christian.
Amen.
Sometimes you can get along in your Christian life, and you get stuck. You get where you're not doing anything. Sometimes you're doing the same old things. Sometimes you've dropped off some of the old things.
Yeah.
But you're just stagnant. You're not, the fellowship isn't sweet. The Bible becomes a chore to you. It becomes a routine.
Yeah.
Prayer becomes something that you do occasionally, because you know nobody prays when it's no fun, right? And you just don't have that fellowship with Lord Jesus Christ. You sing, but the songs don't mean anything to you anymore because you don't have that close walk with Him. And it's easy to do. We live in the last days. The time of His appearing is coming near.
Amen.
And as we get closer and closer, the devil and his cohorts get more and more. And the Bible says in the last days, we're in the Laodicean age.
Yeah.
He says that people become lax, and they think that they are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing.
Right.
And it comes for many reasons. Sometimes it comes because of the cares of life. As you get older, you get more things become more problems.
That's right.
Family, as both immediate and extended, sometimes there's problems with family. Sometimes there's things that are special and private to you that you can't tell anybody else what the problem is, but there's problems that arise. And as a Christian, ideally what you're supposed to do is take those problems to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And have His word opened up so that He can deal with you about them and find the victory to get through them. But what often happens is we stumble at those things. And I want to preach here for a few minutes on why. On why. He says, why do we sit still?
Amen.
Go to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 1, one of the minor prophets. right there, just a little bit before Matthew, Zechariah chapter 1. He says, why do we sit still? He says, Zechariah 1, verse 14. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. And I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. You know, God gets upset when the heathen are at ease. And one of the reasons why Christians sit still is because all the heathen all around them are sitting still. And since everybody else is doing, they just go along with the flow. As Christians, we're supposed to be separate. We're supposed to be distinct. We're supposed to be weird from what everybody else looks like and acts like and talks like. What they love and what they care about should not be the things that bother you. The things that you are concerned about should not be the things that concern them. When they get it all bent out of shape over what's going on in the world, we should have peace because we have a different destination. We have a different book that we're following. Amen. We shouldn't become stagnant just because the rest of the world goes along with it. But he says here in Zechariah, he says the heathen are at ease. And one of the reasons that Christians become stagnant and idle is because they're watching everybody else around them. They're like, well, if they're doing that and their life is turning out okay and they have the things that they need and God is providing for them and the tabernacles of robbers prosper, then I can do just as well and get along just as well as they do.
Yeah.
But as a Christian, you can't.
Amen.
You can't. The most miserable thing in the world is a backslidden Christian.
Amen.
Because you don't have the fellowship with God, and you can't enjoy sin like a lost person
Amen.
Can.
Right.
You're just kind of in the middle there. And you need to get all in.
Amen, bro. Amen.
Go back to Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8. Another reason why the Christian is stagnant, why he's idle, is that because of sin. Look in verse 14. He says, why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves and let us enter into the defense cities and let us be silent there, for the Lord our God hath put us to silence and given us water of gall to drink because we have sinned against the Lord. Sometimes it's because of sin. Sin creeps up in a Christian's life. Sometimes it starts out small. Most of the time it starts out small. And it tends to grow when it's not dealt with.
Amen.
And as it grows and you do something and it's not that big of a sin because everybody else is doing it. And you know that's how Christians measure sin, right? Everybody else is doing it, so it's not that big of a problem. And the world's okay with it. You know, nobody at work is going to make fun of you for doing it.
Yep.
Nobody's going to look down their nose at it. It's just a small sin.
Yep.
And you let that one go and you leave it unconfessed. And you let it go a little bit long, and it tends to build. And pretty soon you have this wall between you and Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it looks so insurmountable. It looks like he would never take you back. And that's what the devil keeps telling you.
Yeah.
He keeps telling you that Jesus Christ can't use you anymore because you've gone too far.
Yeah.
Or Jesus Christ doesn't want to talk to you. You can't have the close fellowship that so-and-so has because look at what you've done. You go through and you read the great heroes of faith in the Bible and the great heroes that the Bible elevates, and you find out they have a lot of sin that they had. But they got it taken care of.
Amen.
God can use a sinner.
Amen.
You just have to be able to deal with it.
Right.
You have to confess your sins and get things right between you and Jesus Christ. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful.
Amen.
Even when you're not faithful, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't matter what sin you've done, it can be forgiven.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how far down the road you've gone, Jesus Christ can still do something with you.
That's right,
amen. He's done something with me.
Amen.
And it's not because I'm anything special, and it's certainly not because I've lived a life free from sin. Jesus Christ takes what you give him. And he's looking for somebody who's committed and is willing to give him everything.
Amen.
And once you do that, he can do something with you. You know, you're like a puppet on a string. And the Lord wants to, the Bible says, Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Inside of you is Jesus Christ's will, and it wants to act out what the Father's good pleasure is. Amen. And when he pulls on the string and you hesitate, he can't act out his will. And we all have that free will to say, no, I'm not going to do everything you want me to do. You know, you can have the right arm and you can have both legs, but this left arm is mine. And you say, no, when he pulls on the string and it's not going anywhere because you're not allowing him to act out his good pleasure in your life. You say, no, that sin behind that door, I'm not ready to take care of. If you're like that, you're going to be a stagnant Christian for a long time. And you're going to see other people walk by you serving the Lord Jesus Christ and accomplishing something for him. Amen. And you're going to wonder, why is God blessing them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do they have the souls? Why are they burdened about souls? Why do they get excited during the singing?
Yeah. Amen.
It's because they dealt with their sin.
Amen.
Sin will keep you idle. It'll keep you stagnant.
Amen.
Not only that, look at verse 14 again. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves and let us enter into the defense cities and let us be silent there. They're not going to talk. They're not going to open their mouth. They're going to let their light shine, but they're not going to say anything. For the Lord our God hath put us to silence. And what did the Lord do to them? Given us water of gall to drink, something bitter. Verse 15. We looked for peace, but no good came. And for a time of health, and behold, trouble. Sometimes you have an idle Christian because the Lord did something to them and they never recovered from it.
Amen.
Sometimes the Lord did something that you can't make sense out of. And you try to figure it out and you try to understand why God would do that to you. Why would God pick you to do that to? When all those other Christians who aren't living half as holy as you are getting along fine. But somehow God zeroed out you, and he's taken away things that he shouldn't take away, is what you think. He's dealing with stuff and putting his finger down, and you feel like you're under a curse. That's what he says here, they a water of gall to drink. That's something bitter. That's what the children of Israel had at the waters of Meribah when they came out of Egypt, and the water was cursed, and Moses had to deal with it to make it drinkable again.
Yep.
And God gives you this bitter water. You know, maybe something like the Lord Jesus Christ, the cup that was given to him. And he says, you need to drink it. And when the Lord gives you a problem, and you're doing right, and you're trying to take care of things the best you know how, and it feels like the slats are coming out from underneath you, you just have to have that faith in him. You just have to go back to him and say, I don't understand why you're doing this. It doesn't make any sense. Your Bible doesn't explain this to me. I can't figure it out. I asked the pastor and he doesn't know. I don't know what you want from me.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to continue to be faithful.
Amen.
And do what you want me to do.
Amen.
The Bible says in Hebrews 11, without faith it is impossible to please him.
Amen.
That's what Jesus Christ is looking for. He's looking for some faith. He's looking for some faithfulness.
Amen.
Did the Lord do something to you that you never recovered from? You're just going to be a casualty? Just going to be on the sidelines? Bible says, have we received the grace of God in vain? God give you some grace and you're just wasting it?
Yes.
You have the greatest news the world has ever seen.
That's good, bro.
And you believe the right book. And the world is dying now for want of someone to tell them of the Savior's matchless grace. As time gets closer and you have more people living now than ever before, you have a greater mission field out there than ever before.
That's right.
The world is so dark that even a little light can shine a long ways.
That's right.
It's time for you to stand up. It's time for you to get your sin confessed, to deal with that bitterness,
Amen.
That root of bitterness that sprung up in you. That can make you idle, can make you stagnant, can make you bitter against the Lord.
That's right.
And that's a dangerous place for a Christian.
Amen, brother.
Because then you read the Bible and you don't get anything out of it. And you start thinking these thoughts and you just let them go. And those thoughts take you down a bad road. They make you think that God is an austere man. That's what the servant called him. He said he was austere. He was a hard master. Now, Jesus Christ is not a hard master. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You have the wrong perspective. If you're bitter at Jesus Christ, you have the wrong perspective. You have something out of sorts. There's something wrong with how you're looking at the picture. And God will, he'll always test his man. He'll always see what you're made out of. Right. You know, Jesus Christ, when he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed the same thing three times. The only reason you would pray the same thing three times is if you didn't get an answer the first two times. Jesus Christ didn't get his prayer answered. He didn't get the cup to pass from him. And he was waiting for the Father to answer him, and all he got was silence. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus Christ went through what you're going through. Jesus Christ went through the opportunity to be bitter, and he didn't do it. He didn't do it. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 8. Well, actually, turn over to Jeremiah 14. Jeremiah 14, look in verse 19. Jeremiah 14, 19, he says, hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hast thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us? And there is no healing for us. You ever feel that way? We looked for peace, and there is no good, and for the time of healing, and behold, trouble. You come to church expecting a blessing, and you get a sermon like this. Go to Haggai, Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1. Sometimes you have to change your expectations of what God must do.
That's right, brother.
God doesn't have to do anything to you. He doesn't have to do anything with you. And he certainly doesn't have to do anything more for you. And he can do nothing else and still be just and still be holy.
Amen.
And when you start thinking contrary to that, you elevate yourself too high.
Amen.
He says in Haggai chapter 1, verse 5, now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. You ever notice things like that?
Amen.
Sometimes you don't notice that God's trying to work on you till it's way far in. You should be close where you start seeing some things drop. You should turn to him immediately. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not clothed with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. It doesn't matter what you do. You can't get around it. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. Find out what God's pleased in. You say, well, how do I know? I thought I was doing it. The things in his book tell you what he's pleased with. And he's pleased with faithfulness. Especially faithfulness despite seeing any results. And that's tough for us. Especially as Americans, right? We always want to be on top. Always want to be the best and the brightest. Always want to be the in the spotlight. And to just have the blessings come down in the way that we expect them to come down.
Yeah.
He says, ye looked for much in verse 9, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man into his own house. Something wrong with how they were dealing with God. Something wrong with their expectations. They thought God was okay with his house falling apart, and that they would just deal with their house and let God's house stay in ruin. And Haggai is here talking about Jerusalem, saying, hey, it's time to get back to work on what I told you. Sometimes God's put something on your heart a long time ago and you never did something with it. Go to Isaiah chapter 30. Why do we sit still? Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah 30. You know, if I've been reading this book on close combat with a handgun and a rifle, and it's talking about them as a martial art and how it progressed since the early 1920s, 1930s, when the police started changing their routine from, okay, you can hit the bullseye, to, hey, let's have a moving target, let's have some distractions in there. And what he's saying is that the worst thing you can do in a fight is get hedged in, where you're not mobile, where you get pinned down, and you don't have freedom of mobility to start moving around. If you get hedged in as a Christian, if you get stagnant and you stop moving, you stop doing anything for Jesus Christ, you'll feel the relationship suffer. The relationship you have with Jesus Christ, he likens it to the relationship that you have between a man and his wife. You ever stop doing things for your wife? You ever stop doing things for your husband? Just little nice things, the extra things? Your relationship will suffer. Same way with Jesus Christ. You stop serving him and stop working with him and working for him, your relationship is start going to show the strains of those things. Look in Isaiah chapter 30, look in verse 7. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength is to sit still. Sometimes Christians sit still because that's what they're good at. Sometimes what they're good at, what they know, what they see around them, what they've been practicing is to sit still. They're just good at it. And it's uncomfortable for them to get out of their comfort zone and to go do something for Jesus Christ. You know, as a Christian, you should always try to find something uncomfortable for you to do. Whether it's preaching on the street, whether it's going to pass out tracts to your neighbors, people who know you, whether it's to find the opportunities to witness at work, whatever it is that makes you uncomfortable, it's okay to get outside of your comfort zone. It's a good thing for you.
That's right.
It makes that relationship fresh. It makes it real. Amen. He says their strength is to sit still. Go to Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8. Sometimes Christians sit still because when they try to do something for God, they mess up. You ever been there? You try to go do something for God and it just falls to pieces? I know a good friend of mine, he graduated through school with me. And he would try to do something for God, and it fell apart. He says, I want to go be a missionary to the Jews. God just closed all the doors, couldn't do it. He says, all right, I'm just going to be faithful in a church here. Opportunity opened up for him to start a church in this little town. He went and did that, and it fell apart. Had to end up going back to the pastor that he was under, saying, hey, do you mind if I come back with you? He wasn't doing anything bad or wicked or evil. He was just trying to do something for God, and it fell apart. You know, God doesn't require you to be successful.
Yeah.
He requires you to be faithful.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter if you don't get the results that you're looking for. You know, sometimes a Christian sits still because when they tried something, it didn't work out like they expected it to work out.
Yeah,
God didn't bless it in the way that they were looking for him to bless it. Your expectations sometimes should change. Look at Jeremiah 8. It's not all bad news. Come down to verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hood of the daughter of my people, my hood, I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? The idle, bedridden Christian can be healed. You are never in a bad enough state where God can't heal you, where he can't provide a remedy that will fix you. The great physician can do it.
Amen.
You just have to come to him.
Amen.
When the apostles that were there and they were feeding the 5,000 and they had the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he said, give you them to eat. And they said, we don't have enough. All we got is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He says, bring them to me. You bring what you have to him, he can do something with it.
Amen.
Now, what did he do with it? He broke it, he blessed it, and then he gave it. If he's going to use you, he's going to break you, he's going to bless you, and then he's going to give you. Whenever he feeds people, that's what he does. He breaks them, he blesses them, and then he gives them. But he can heal you. And if you're idle, if you're stagnant today, Jesus Christ can do something with you. The problem is not on his end. The problem is, will you come to him?
That's right. Amen. Amen, brother. Yeah, give him your testimony, brother. How you gonna say?
My testimony.